Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor. And take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello, this is international football commentator Derek Ray, and you're listening to the Ranks FC podcast.
Hello, Rank Squad, and welcome to Ranks FC here for your Champions League final preview. My name is Jack Collins, and I'll be your host today. And joining me, as ever, is my friend, my co-host, Mr. Dean Jones. How you doing, mate?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm good. It's Champions League final. Of course I'm good. Just realised, though, that last year's Champions League final, I was at a wedding, don't know if you remember.
Yes.
And struggled to watch it, to be honest. I've just realised that, looked in the diary, we've got a night out with some friends on Saturday night.
You're very bad at planning for the Champions League.
I don't plan anything, mate. This is the problem. I don't plan anything. My life is basically planned for me. And then when I get to the week, I just look at what's coming up. And today was like, Saturday in the day, I'm going to picnic in the park at Craven Cottage.
Nice.
Me, Tay, the boys, on the pitch at Craven Cottage. They can have a kickabout, or have some nice food we'll take along, and it's a bouncy castle. I thought, that's our day, that's our Saturday. It's like, well, what is this later on in the night? Adults night out, going for dinner. So I'm going to be in a restaurant somewhere, probably with my mom, on my phone again.
Surely there'll be other adults in the adults night out.
There's a plan in place. I've convinced Tay that maybe we should go to a pub instead, because we don't, if we're chatting, you know, some of our friends aren't going to see us for a while. I said, you know, let's go to a pub instead. And let's make it a bit more casual. We could just do that. And then we can always go onto a bar somewhere after, stay out a bit later. She's very into the idea of a pub. So I need to now find a pub that's also got screens in it. So yeah, that's where we're at, mate. Also, I got electrocuted about 2 hours ago. So, if I'm a bit, weird tonight, it's because, I've had a shock. I've had my finger in a block socket.
This reminds me, is this your way of getting into the Borussia Dortmund spirit? You know, the yellow and black.
Mate,
it reminds me of Electrobuzz, the Pokemon. That might be a reference that'll go over your head, but it is one for the ages.
There's been some shocks recently, hasn't there? Leverkusen not winning the Europa League. Man City not winning the FA Cup. Maybe me getting electrocuted. I properly was as well, by the way. I felt my whole body
jolt.
Like, yeah, it was really weird. I think I'm all right. I keep checking my heart.
I think you'd be okay. I think you'd know by now. I think you'd know by now. It tends to be relatively quick.
I said to Tay about half hour ago, I'm feeling a bit lightheaded. She's like, you're not going to die.
No, I don't think so. It's the volts that jolt. It's the amps that
if
kill
I do,
you.
Though, let's get this pod out of the way first because it's the last one of the season, right? It's-
yeah, well, it might be the last one ever if this doesn't go to plan.
Don't say that.
But so we are going to do this in a couple of ways. So we're going to take our respective natural positions on this. Dean is going to talk about the favourites. I'm going to talk about the underdog in part one. We're going to give three reasons why each can feel confident coming into the final. In part two, we're going to talk about some key players and key battles. And then in part three, we'll give some predictions and we'll pick up some others from the rank squad who have decided they want to get involved. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to share a few of them ones as well at the end. But let's start, Dean. You're going to take the side you've taken for the entire season. You said back in September, Real Madrid were going to win the Champions League. So I'm going to give you the floor and give you three reasons why Real Madrid are going to win the Champions League final on Saturday night.
Yeah, this comes as a shock to no one that listens to this podcast, does it? But I can't obviously turn on them at this stage, and I don't intend to. The first factor, Jack, is star quality. Jude Bellingham has just been named La Liga Player of the Season. He was the third highest scorer in the league. You've also got Vinicius Jr. He ended up four goals behind him, actually, in the top scorers race in the league. But in the Champions League, this man knows how to rise. And think back to those two goals he scored against Bayern Munich in the Champions League. If you recall, that was a night when Vinny took advantage of a poor Kim Min-ye performance. And he really just pounced on lapses in that team. This is what he'll look to do to Dortmund. And this is what gives Madrid a real edge in this fixture, is that they have the better players. I mean, I know it sounds so simple, but this is simple.
To use his old Sam Tyism, the team with the better players wins football games most of the time.
Yes, it is a bit Sam Ty, isn't it? And I have to agree with Sam on this one. There's just little things about Vinny that are obviously extremely hard to deal with. But I've even watched back today, you know, all the Champions League goals from 23-24, the way that Bellingham and Vinny have combined throughout this tournament at times, the way that Jude strolls through the centre of the park. I say strolls, strides, I should say, because he does do that. He's literally like a cheetah with a football at his feet. Like, it's absolutely ludicrous how this guy moves through a football pitch. Dortmund don't have that, okay? Quite simply, Dortmund do not have two players that measure up to these two. And then, of course, you've got the likes of Rodrigo and Brahim that don't get the major headlines but can be difference makers. And then I was thinking a bit deeper. I was like, okay, so I was always going to give star billing to Vinny and Bellingham. I mean, throughout this season, when we've done Champions League takeaways, these are often the guys that I've ended up talking about. So it's natural that this is where we have to look when we get to a preview of the final. But in goal, Thibaut Courtois is back. And this is star quality as well. Now, Andre Lunin, is he the unsung hero of the whole competition? He might be, I think he's had actually quite a bit of praise, and rightly so. If you think about his performances against Leipzig across both games, if you think about him against Manchester City, against Bayern Munich.
Call Lunin, him Andre Lumos. He's been a shining light.
He has been, mate. And it's going to be extremely harsh on him. But I don't think he's going to start the Champions League final. I'm sure you agree with me.
So I wasn't going to question you. I was going to wait till the end to come up with some rebuttals. Fine. But I actually think it's probably best to go into this in some sort of debate format, right? So one thing I would say is, does Courtois' return put undue pressure on either of them, whichever starts? I think it will be Courtois. I agree with you. But if Courtois starts and he drops a clanger in the first half, the immediate shout is going to be Lunin should have played, he deserved his shout, right? If Lunin starts and he does something wrong, people are going to be like, well, Courtois should have started the final. Does it automatically pile pressure onto whichever goalkeeper starts because they're now both available?
No, I would take the opposite stance on that. I would say whoever gets the nod has got such a confidence boost and such a good feeling of the fact that the manager's picked them for that moment that they're not going to let them down. I think if Lunin was to get the nod, he wouldn't believe it. And he would be so driven to make sure that he repaid the faith that Ancelotti was showing in him in that moment. Courtois would be like, blimey, I've missed 95% of the season. He still picked me. I can't let him down. That's how I would probably look at this. It's obviously pretty remarkable, isn't it, that we're even considering that Courtois is going to be playing this game, considering how this season has gone for him. And I think
Ancelotti did come out in the week and basically say, I don't know who's going to start in goal yet, which hasn't really helped proceedings.
No, but I think that Ancelotti, when he's talked about him in the past, talks about Courtois as though he's the best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And now that Courtois...
He's not far off either, is he?
No. But now that he is available, now that he's played... Well, he obviously played against Real Betis the other day and was substituted. But he played, and he obviously has started three other games recently, two in La Liga. So he's back fit. And if he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world, and you consider him to potentially be the best, I don't think you're going to leave him out. And there are sometimes just elite players that you can't look past. I know I haven't talked about Kroos and stuff like that, but I'll get to him in a bit. But whether it's Kroos and Modric and that style of player and that brain, or whether it's a Courtois or Vinny or Bellingham, they've got something in their position that is unrivaled. And we'll talk about it a lot across this episode, but a lot of it's mentality. And Courtois, 32 years old, given the journey that he's been on, the clubs he's been at, the mistakes that he's made in the past, the things that he's achieved, I think you have to pick him for this final. And I think Dortmund will be disappointed to see him there as well. I think Dortmund will be hopeful that Lunin gets the nod. And I think that to see Courtois' name on the team sheet will be a little bit of a disappointment for the Yellow and Blacks.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. What's number two then?
Emotion, Jack. This is something you're going to get caught up in on Saturday night when you're watching all this, because even though you are supporting the underdog, even though you love a story that goes badly for the favourites, there's a narrative here that you're going to find very difficult to overlook. Now, obviously, look, a lot of the talk around Madrid this season has been about that harmony between the young players, the emerging players, the talent that's breaking through, and the old guard. And they've both stepped in when they've needed to. But obviously, we're looking here at a moment when it's going to be Toni Kroos's last game in a Real Madrid shirt. And obviously, that's hugely significant. Ancelotti says it will be Kroos's last game. I hope he can end his career in Madrid with a Champions League title. On an individual level, he deserves it. But Kroos's career does not change whether he wins this or not. He's already contributed towards it. He's entered the history of Real Madrid and will not enter another club after this moment. He is already in the history of football. And look, I know that there were tears for Kroos at the weekend, but this is not a player who I expect to get overwhelmed by an occasion like this, who's going to be standing there thinking, oh no, it's my last game, hope I play well. He's just going to play well. Like, it's just written that he's going to play well, that you trust him, that he is in that engine room and he knows how to manipulate and manage moments within a fixture. He'll save the tears for when he's holding the trophy later and he gets his kids back for another moment that he'll live with him for the rest of his life, if they can stay up that late, of course. But yeah, I feel like the Real Madrid veterans are going to be very important. Yes, in terms of the technical attributes, but secondly, emotionally and mentally. Because we know what it takes for Real Madrid to have that DNA, that winning factor. And a lot of it comes from the likes of Modric and, of course, Kroos. So it is going to be emotional and there will be banners and there will be chants for Kroos. And he will at some point get caught up in all of that. Sadly for Dortmund, I don't think it will be during the 90 minutes or the 120 minutes that we get to see on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I also feel like Toni Kroos is the kind of person who's going to be able to deal with this well. I think the fact that there's a Euros after this, if this was Toni Kroos's last ever game of football at professional level, then maybe that changes. But I think in his head, and I imagine the way that he's thinking about it is, yes, okay, this is a massive game to end my club career. I then have an opportunity to go and win a home European championships with my nation as well. So there's two prongs to that kind of exit strategy, if you will. And there's a kind of redemption arc, if he needs it, that goes on at the Euros, or he gets an opportunity to crown the club success. And I think that the way that this is shaken out and the way that it's been all seems to fit. The only thing I would suggest is maybe it's not Kroos that gets caught up in the emotion of it. Maybe it's the other players, the younger players who are like, we have to do this for Kroos. We have to do this for Toni Kroos. You know, because I think it's Dani Carvajal and Luka Modric can both go level with Paco Gento as the only players to have ever won 6 European Cups or Champions League trophies. If Madrid were to win, Kroos will get 5. But with him being, you know, going through the doors and waving goodbye to Real Madrid, I wonder if it's not necessarily him that gets caught up in it, but everybody else is a little bit like, oh God, if something goes wrong, we're not doing it for Toni. Is there that element to consider? Who knows? I think you could probably play that for both sides as well. And I'll come onto it from a Dortmund perspective in the other side of things, but probably just worth bearing in mind.
Yeah. And also just in terms of emotion, like Carlo Ancelotti doesn't really do that. That he doesn't get caught up in a fixture. He's been around too long. He's done this match too many times. He's been involved in too many big games to let emotions get to him. And that might also be something he's got over his opposite number here. So I think that that's worth bearing in mind. The third thing, Jack, is obviously history. The track record Real Madrid have in this competition is ludicrous. And I think about it now, and when you consider your football watching career, right, and how many times you've watched Real Madrid in the Champions League, and how many times you've actually watched them and thought, they're not that good, or you think, they're not going to win this. But they do. Not only do they win that game, they go on to win the trophy. They've been in 17 finals and they've won 14 of them. That's absolutely ridiculous. They got a win rate of over 80% across 17 European Cup finals. It's absolutely ridiculous. They go into their 18th European Cup final. So it's crazy. And the way that they pluck these victories out of, I don't want to say thin air, because there's got to be something more to it than that, but it's this DNA that we talk about again and again and again. They're never dead. Even if you're standing on their throat, they're kicking until that last breath. They don't give in. They're never dead. And it's all because they believe they own this trophy, basically. The form coming into it is not ideal for Borussia Dortmund. Madrid are unbeaten in 12 games in this competition this season. And they've got here without losing a game for the first time, which is pretty crazy when you consider how many times they've got to this stage of the competition. So that's weird. And the other thing to consider when it comes down to, historically, but also for right now, is that football is usually judged by what we can see. The tangibles, the patterns of play, the tactical trends, the player performances. But with Madrid, there are intangibles attached to them that are absolutely priceless. And that's why Madrid are going to win the Champions League, because they have an aura about them. They have a mentality that this is their trophy, mate. And with the Kroos factor, with the Vinny, the Bellingham, the Courtois, the Ancelotti at Wembley on a Saturday night, it's going to take either a moment of calamity that takes it away from them, or honestly, one of the best performances you've ever seen from Borussia Dortmund in their entire history to overpower them. It's not impossible. I am aware that Madrid haven't got this in the bag, but it's going to take something special to beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair enough. I would probably counter with the idea that before the Europa League final last week, I said it's not impossible that Atalanta win this, and I think they're quite a good matchup for Leverkusen, but it's going to take something particularly special, I think, to derail the Leverkusen train. And we watched one of the most complete final performances that I think we've seen from anyone, from the underdog, and that's got to give everybody hope, right? That's got to give everyone of a black and yellow persuasion the hope for this one.
doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
It takes me quite nicely on to three reasons why Borussia Dortmund can feel confident going into this final, why Borussia Dortmund are going to win this trophy. And I'm going to start with the fact that this team feel Champions League battle hardened, right? And I think that when you look at the season, and look, when you look at the season that these two clubs have had domestically, they are worlds apart. You know, Real Madrid cruised to La Liga's title. Their biggest challenge was mostly from Girona, who, yes, dropped off towards the end, but and Barcelona took that second spot. But realistically, it felt a bit like Real Madrid and 19 more in La Liga this season. Borussia Dortmund have had a funny campaign. They've had ups and downs. But I think that when you look at what they've done in the Champions League this year, they obviously won that group of death with PSG, Newcastle United, and AC Milan. They knocked out an all-conquering PSV, who I think, if I'm not mistaken, had lost one game in their domestic competitions by the time they faced Borussia Dortmund in the knockout stages. They were high-flying and they had, you know, that feeling about them that they had the potential to be a dark horse. And instead, Borussia Dortmund dealt with it. They just dealt with it. And it felt like one of those kind of performances that you go, okay, wow, that was business-like. That is so not what I expect from Borussia Dortmund, especially having watched them so much in the Bundesliga toil against teams who they should have been beating. They then beat an Atleti side, which were born for this competition, you know, who know how to grind and grate their way through knockout stages, who had just knocked out an Inter side, who I'd made, if not favourites, and second favourites to win the competition as a whole. I think Inzaghi's Inter have been absolutely stunning across the course of this season. And Atleti had gone there and done a job on them, tried to do the same job against Dortmund and fell at the post, right? And then they finally hold a free-scoring PSG who had scored 19 goals in 10 games to 2-1-0 victories. They shut them out. They overcome the odds once again. I think that how many of the games that Borussia Dortmund will have gone into this season in the Champions League. So the group games, obviously, is against Newcastle, PSG, AC Milan, the two games against PSV, the two games against Atleti, the two games against PSG. How many of them were they favourites in? Four? Maximum?
Yeah, I mean, they're unfancied a lot of the time, mate.
They've been unfancied throughout this competition and they have turned up time and time again. Marco Reus was obviously in this squad 11 years ago when they lost the final at Wembley to Bayern Munich. And we were minutes away from that happening again. And I think that the two contrasting campaigns in their league form and the way that Real Madrid have run away with La Liga compared to how they've performed in the Champions League. Yes, I take your point.
that them getting to the final, having not lost a game, is very, very impressive. But equally, I think that when you look at how Real Madrid have played in the Champions League, yes, they get the job done. I get that. And I know where it's going to come back at me. But they've actually been kind of on the edge against City. They were on the edge against Bayern. They're on the edge a little bit against Leipzig in terms of the way that that tie played out as well. They won the group very, very comfortably, fine. Mm. But actually, in each of their knockout games, they've not been comfortable. And yes, it's impressive that they've got through them nonetheless. I'm not trying to take that away from Real Madrid. But I think when you look at the way that Borussia Dortmund have navigated this knockout stages compared to the way that Real Madrid have, you'd say there's not much between them, right? And I think that's got to be something that Borussia Dortmund can dial into here. They've been underdogs pretty much the whole way through. They're underdogs again. They won't mind that.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, I was watching the semi-finals and, you know, I didn't, at the start of the first leg, didn't give them much chance. And then the way they dealt with it all, I said I had a feeling that even though I was ranking them as the least likely to win this competition of the four that were left, I stuck them at four and said I felt it was wrong. But it just was the most logical place to put them. Football isn't logical. And that's what gives them a hope of winning this Champions League final. It's a weird game. Man United shouldn't beat Man City in the FA Cup final. That shouldn't happen. And it just happened at that stadium the weekend just gone.
Yeah. And Oxford United shouldn't have beat Bolton. And that was a team in yellow playing a team in white. Yeah. They should have won at Wembley last weekend. And look where we are.
Italy shouldn't have beaten England in the final of the year. But look, this is why football's amazing. And this is, I said it on Patreon the other day, like the day of that FA Cup final, there felt like I had a really weird feeling about that day. It just felt like, for some reason, Man United fans just seemed weirdly optimistic in that moment. And Dortmund fans are going to go to Wembley feeling optimistic. You have to. I mean, number one, you're spending hundreds of pounds, if not thousands, to be there in the first place. You're not going to spend that if you don't think you've got a chance of winning. But secondly, you know, football plans don't always go to plan. And that's what they get, I hope, happens for Real Madrid.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, more than that, though, I think that my second point is that Dortmund are kind of built to play the big boys. They've toiled and struggled against teams that are worse than them in the Bundesliga all season. They've really struggled with teams who sit deep and let them have the ball. But their record against the big sides is really impressive. There's only two sides in the entire division who Leverkusen haven't beaten across any game this season. One of them is Borussia Dortmund, who they've drawn with twice. Let me just read you off a couple of results. Obviously, PSG 0. Borussia Dortmund 1, Borussia Dortmund 1, PSG 0. Leverkusen 1, Borussia Dortmund 1, Borussia Dortmund 4, Atleti 2, Bayern 0, Borussia Dortmund 2, PSV 0, Borussia Dortmund 2, Borussia Dortmund 1, PSV 1, Borussia Dortmund 1, PSG 1, Leverkusen 1, Borussia Dortmund 1, Milan 1, Borussia Dortmund 3, Borussia Dortmund 2, Newcastle United 0, Newcastle 0, Borussia Dortmund 1, Borussia Dortmund 0-0, AC Milan. The games that they have stepped up in, the games that they have performed best in, have been the games against the teams that have been best across the course of this season. They have raised their game. And you just spoke about the FA Cup final, and something we mentioned on our Monday podcast when we were reviewing that game and we were talking about Ten Hag's future was that I was saying, yes, okay, fine, impressive. Is that enough to keep Ten Hag? Because actually, is that just a game that suits him in that they're able to play more transitionally? They're able to play a little bit on the counter. They're able to soak up pressure and exploit spaces. And I'm thinking exactly the same here. Because what do you expect Real Madrid to do? You expect them to dominate the ball, right? You expect Real Madrid to want to make a mark upon this game. You expect Real Madrid's fullbacks to fly forward and support the attack. Where did they get joy against PSG? Well, when the fullbacks flew forward, Karim Adeyemi absolutely rinsed them. When the fullbacks flew forward, Jadon Sancho had the best game of his career, or the best game of his season at the very least, this season against PSG in that first leg, torching them down that right-hand side. Mm-hmm. I just feel that with Hummels and Schlotterbeck and the way that they're playing right now, the partnership that they have soaking up space, we've just seen the fullbacks and the centre-backs stand up to a Kylian Mbappe test. Yes, okay, PSG are more disjointed than Real Madrid are. Fine, no problem. But you're still having to deal with Kylian Mbappe. You're still having to deal with Ousmane Dembele. You're still having to deal with those players bombing forward from midfield. Borussia Dortmund have just sort of seen that and shrugged. Yes, okay, PSG hit the bar a couple of times. Agreed. And there should have been maybe more less in it than there was. But equally, I do think that there is a sense here that this team thrives in situations where they're able to transition, they're able to counter. And if they can start to get those moves working, then I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be able to hurt Real Madrid in those areas. And we'll talk about key battles a bit later, so I'm not going to, you know, bang on about it too much. But it does just feel like the space in behind is the kind of thing that makes Borussia Dortmund's eyes light up. And I think there's going to be space in behind to attack here.
Yeah, there will be. And you're right about Mbappe. That's a fair point to make. They've got players that can definitely exploit weaknesses of Real Madrid. I can't deny that. I also don't mind, by the way, if Dortmund win this Champions League final. Like, I'm not an actual Real Madrid fan. Like, I'll be delighted for them if they can pull this off.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I just think it's extremely unlikely. Far, but yeah, you're right in what you say. And these are the messages and the pictures even that they have to have in their minds as they get out onto that pitch. You know, it's obviously an old fashioned thing to talk about. Make sure that you've envisaged yourself in certain moments of a game or pictured how things are going to open up. That's exactly what Dortmund will be doing right now. Because they just need to exploit those gaps once or twice. If they can make it count, one goal in a Champions League final is huge and it could count for so much.
Well, the last two have ended 1-0, haven't they? So whoever does score that first goal is a big moment. Although I think, if I'm not mistaken, the last four games between Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid have ended with 17 goals between them.
So I didn't realize that.
It might not be quite as a tight and tense as we perhaps expect. But it takes us on to number one, and you gave your emotion bit. My one goes down to a couple of things, but mostly the Marco Reus factor. I'm a bit annoyed that Toni Kroos has done this, right? Because he's taken the limelight away from Marco Reus.
It's true.
It should have been all about Marco Reus. And instead we're like, oh, Toni Kroos is retiring. I was like, that's incredibly sad. And I am upset. And I'm saddened by Toni Kroos's, you know, moving on from the club game at this point, but from football in general. But also I was very much on board with the whole Marco Reus has to score the winner in this final. I will live and die on this sword, right? He just has to. This is a man who has been one of the greatest players of our generation and traded in the opportunity to win all sorts of silverware and watched his teammates depart around him for loyalty to his hometown club. He has to show for it, well, two German Cups, which is no mean feat, but equally, it's not the trophy haul that you would expect of a player of Reus's caliber. And yes, injuries have played a massive part in that. And I think that if those injuries hadn't taken their toll, we'd be looking at a player who'd not only won more far on a national level, but also who had inspired Dortmund to more greatness, I think, by himself. But he has this opportunity to finish his career at Dortmund, his 439th game for the club, on the most ridiculous high, having kind of started it with that low in that first season when he came back to Borussia Dortmund by losing that Champions League final. And then he's basically watched projects come and go since that moment. He has the chance to sort of end this fairy tale story with the greatest high of all time. And I think that in itself is something. Look, I could kind of level the same point, and you could level the same point against me that I've just made about you in terms of, are the players around him going to be like, oh my God, we have to do this for Marco. Like, it means everything to do it for Marco. Is that going to affect other people more than him? I think so. I think it will. I think he's not the person that's going to be rock and rolled by that. And I do worry about Dortmund emotionally a bit, because as much as I love Edin Terzic, I really do love him. I think he's great. He is also one of those people that just like speaks really passionately and from the heart. And I'm a bit worried he might just go a bit over the top.
His team talk's going to be a big one, isn't it?
He reminds me of me in many ways. Like, not only does he look a bit like me, but like also... like that kind of, when you hear him speak, I'm like, that's the kind of thing I would have said. And I'm not sure 100%
that's actually a good thing,
professional athletes would respond to this, because you're like basically crying. He has to like take himself away from full times because he's like, I get too emotional. I can't speak to the team. And you're like, right. Okay, cool. There's a lot going on here. This is an incredibly emotional occasion, incredibly emotional game. Last year, he stood in front of the yellow wall, the Tribune, and had to deal with the fact that they had thrown away the title on the final day, and he was in tears in front of the yellow wall. And a year on, he has the opportunity to make amends for that moment and go down as one of the greatest coaches and one of the greatest sons of Dortmund that they will ever have. That's a lot of pressure and a lot of emotion on a boyhood Borussia Dortmund fan.
Yeah. Do you think there'll be some good images of Kroos and Royce together on the night?
I was thinking this.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because if it's not before, it's going to be tricky to do it after, because they'll be in such different places mentally as to celebrating or feeling sorry for themselves. And so I'm interested to see what happens around that, because it could be an amazing image.
Yeah, two of the all-time greats having their final bow at very least the top of European football together. So
I did look into getting a ticket to this game, by the way. You obviously know I'd like to keep my eye on the ticket scenarios. See,
you can't
now
because you're going to be in the pub.
Yeah, it turns out I could never have gone anyway, because I've had my life planned for me and definitely couldn't have made it. But yeah, I've thought, oh, I'll have a quick look just to see what tickets are going for. It hasn't dropped below £2,000, at any point since they both made the semi-final. So made it to the final. So there was never a chance I was actually going anyway.
Some people will pay that.
Of course they will. You know, especially if you're, you know, I've got to say, I mean, for Real Madrid
fans,
you're
more tempted to pay it as a Dortmund fan or a Madrid fan.
I think as a Dortmund fan. Because it's 2013, the last time they got to the final. 1997, before that, when they beat Juventus. They've been to this final. This is their third appearance in a Champions League / European Cup final. So we're talking about, you know, that's an opportunity that comes around, maybe not once in a lifetime, but at the very most once in a decade, right? So I think you're probably more tempted to pay it. You know, we talked about Madrid's incredible record of getting to finals, incredible record in this competition. It doesn't make it any less special if you're going as a Real Madrid fan, and I'm not suggesting it does before I get murdered. But I do think there's probably more of a chance that the opportunity might come up again. And especially given the way that Borussia Dortmund were kind of written off at every front this year, it's hard to see them repeating this feat next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, I went to watch Dortmund in that 97 season.
Did you? Paul Lambert?
I did, yeah. They played Man United in that Champions League campaign. So I saw Man United lose 1-0 to Dortmund. And yeah, Lambert was playing. They had playing. I remember him.
Good football.
It's funny because back then, you really didn't know many of the players who were playing for the other team. Like these days, you know, could reel off Dortmund's starting 11 reasonably easily, reasonably quickly. But back then, like if you knew three Dortmund players, like you knew a lot about football. I think I only knew two, so I didn't know anything about football. But, you know, that was the United team of like Cantona, Beckham, Cole, Gary Neville, Schmeichel. Yeah, Dortmund went there and won 1-0. So, yeah, me and my dad didn't have the greatest night because I was there with him. But you just brought that back to me then when you mentioned 1997. I was like, blimey, I think I saw them back then.
There you go.
So
you
old.
I've got to say, I can't claim memory from that final.
You weren't born.
No, I was born. I was born. I was alive. I just, I'm not
quite
young.
I was quite young.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's leave part one there. We'll be back in part two to talk about some of the key battles and key players in this final. Don't go anywhere.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle, follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money.
With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back to Ranks AFC and part two of our Champions League final preview. Dean, we're going to talk about some key players, key battles. You're going to start us off. What are you going with?
Going for Vinicius Jr. against the four players that are going to have to deal with him. I couldn't really nail it down. I thought, what matchup is actually going to dictate this? And honestly, it's just how you deal with Vinny. He has like obviously different ways of playing. And one of the things I love about Vinny actually in the way he plays, just first off, is the pause and run thing that he does. Like before the ball in possession, like releases him. He's got it absolutely nailed where he like pauses a second and then goes. He's brilliant at it. I think like when you're thinking of head to head, you're like, okay, well, who's going to be dealing with this? And like, say Ryerson at right back, if he's who plays, then he's obviously like the actual head to head. But I was like, that's not, say Ryerson isn't enough, because it's not just him against Vinny. It's more than that. It's the wide player on his side. So say Jadon Sancho probably. How does he deal with having Vinny on that side? Is he going to help back? Is he going to try and leave him? What's his instructions? Then one of the most important players is the centre-back that plays inside the right-back, say Hummels. How does he cope with it? Because Vinny does that thing when he just cuts inside again, and then he tries to get that shot away. It's like a two or three take on the dribble, and then he hits it. That's key. I mean, it's helpful if he has Hummels and someone is of that mindset. So I'm not saying they can't deal with it. But then also there's the supporting midfielder, whoever it might be, Sabitzer, whatever, and how they try to quell that danger as well, and how they see those spaces that Vinny will try to manipulate to stop him from doing his damage. So yeah, my key battle is Vinny versus half the Dortmund team. Sometimes he's just unplayable, and it's partly because he plays these mind games. As I say, he'll come short and spin. But what he'll do, I've seen it, sometimes I'm watching Madrid and I'll just watch his movements because I just love watching him. And he'll come short and spin a few times. And then the defender will think he's starting to suss him out and know what he's trying to do. And just as you think you've sussed him, he never does it the same number of times either. He'll completely switch it up and he'll either stay deep and he'll just look to go somewhere completely different, or he'll even turn and spin inside instead of going out. And look, sometimes with Vinny, you'll see more dangerous in a way. You even see him sometimes go central. And when he gets in centrally, he'll pick up the ball. Most of the time, he'll look to spread it out to the right. And then does this thing that is a nightmare for defenders. He'll just get into the box and he'll go on the blind side of the player that's been tracking him too. So they don't even know where he is. The cross will come in quite fast and Vinny will try and stick it away at the far post. His variations are so hard to track. So yes, you could say Vinny up against whichever fullback is directly marking him is the most important factor here. But it's not. It's the unit of four players that are collectively having to cope with his ingenuity. And that is one of the most difficult things in football.
Yeah, I mean, Emre Can's got a hell of a job in his hands. It's probably how I would put this. And Julian Ryerson did a really good, as I mentioned, Ryerson and Hummels did a really, really good job marking Mbappe in those spaces, both when he played through the middle and when he went out wide. So they have, in some ways, had a trial run. Now, Mbappe and Vinicius Jr. are not the same player. And actually, no. I think that Vinicius is far more
interesting in his variations, as you say, and how he can move the ball around in the middle there and make things happen. Mbappe is probably the more consistent player in terms of he does the same thing regularly, but it's very hard to stop. Whereas Vinicius has that ingenuity and that creative spark in him that just allows him to basically drift wherever he wants. And also the freedom that this Real Madrid unit allows means that he can do that and someone will cover the space that he is supposed to be in, you know, by proxy. That's how it'll work. So I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see kind of how that develops. My kind of flip of this was that my key battle that I put out was Adeyemi versus Carvajal. And to kind of go one further, how Ancelotti sets up here, because does he go, right, they're going to try and get us down that left-hand flank. It's probably going to be Adeyemi. It's probably going to be Maartsen. We saw what they did to PSG at times. You know, the two of them overloading that flank and Hakimi really struggling to get into the game because of the way he wanted. But also in the first leg, Adeyemi flying past that defensive line time and time again, and being able to open them up because there were spaces left in that right back berth that weren't normally available to Dortmund when they play against teams who, you know, as we said in the first part, who sit deeper against them in the Bundesliga. So how Carvajal deals with this and what Ancelotti does he play Valverde as a kind of nominal right winger to deal with it? Does he play him in that space to try and stand them up and be like, right, you're not coming down the left. We don't care where you're going, but you're not coming down your left side. We are going to just shore that up. And we know what Valverde can do in an attacking sense as well. If he goes with that, it's going to be very interesting to see how much Dortmund try to use that channel. If he doesn't, then I think that Adeyemi versus Carvajal battle, and especially we know Danny Carvajal, yes, one of the experienced heads in this team, also has a temper, also has a temperament, and has been in games like this where we've seen him lose his head when he's getting torched by a left winger. And I think that if they can isolate Adeyemi against Carvajal and start to try and push him around in that spot to stop him getting forward and getting him into those dangerous positions and also basically pin the fullback, but also get him turning around and driving backwards at his own goal to try and keep up with someone like Adeyemi, he's going to have a tough night. So how Dortmund use that and how they use Fulcrum to bring him into play is another question, but also just how high they leave Adeyemi, how much they risk on that kind of left-hand side compared to where they do on the right-hand side. You kind of assume that someone's going to have to work backwards to track Vinicius. Equally, is that going to leave Jadon Sancho a space to run at Ferland Mendy or whoever plays at left-back? I think it will be Mendy. How do those kind of full-back winger pairings match out? And how much risk did Dortmund take in terms of leaving those players high to try and actually catch Madrid on the break?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, exactly that. And it's obviously you've got to be brave at some point in any final because you've got to try to win it. And it's all calculated in terms of when you're willing to go with those moments and what the threat is going the other way, obviously. But it's a good point, mate.
The other player I wanted to bring up was someone that you briefly mentioned, Marcel Sabitzer, who has had a phenomenal campaign in the Champions League in particular. He's had a good campaign, I think, across it. He's been a really back to his best kind of performance for Dortmund generally. But I think he's really shone in the Champions League. And I think that his performance in both legs against PSG, where he was able to take control of a midfield which has Vitinha in it, who, as most listeners will know, I'm an absolutely huge fan of, but also Zaire Emery and different players dropping in different areas. I thought that Sabitzer was phenomenal in terms of the way that he got up, he got down, he was creative, he was destructive. It was a kind of all-around eight performance in both games where I thought he was able to take the game by the scruff of the neck and control it, particularly in the first leg where I thought Dortmund's midfield dominated PSG's. But across both legs, I thought he was exceptional. Now he's going to have to go into a gear higher, if he's going to be able to deal with this Real Madrid midfield because of the quality. You spoke about the ability of all these players that we know, but also the fact that he's going to have to basically deal with where Bellingham plays and how he drops in, especially if Emre Can is having to double up
on Vinicius Junior, as you kind of alluded to in that.
Yeah,
that
I should have said Chan instead of Sabitzer. So yeah.
But I think that there is a point there that even if Chan is the player that decides he's going to double up on Vinicius, that means Sabitzer has to deal with that kind of roaming threat of Jude Bellingham as much as the centre backs do. And what that allows him to do going forward, what it allows him to do in a creative sense as much as anything else. So how Dortmund deal with that and how Dortmund play, I think is basically crucial on in terms of how Sabitzer plays. If Sabitzer can get hold of the ball and start to be able to play his football, get the ball on the deck and play, then I think the Borussia Dortmund have a puncher's chance here. If they don't, and if he gets swamped in the middle, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to find those out balls that they need to try and hurt Real Madrid on the counter.
Yeah, Man United fans watching Sabitzer and Jadon Sancho decide a Champions League final is going to be interesting, isn't it? What you could have had. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Sabitzer's been remarkable at times this season, particularly in this competition at times. So it's definitely a key player.
Yeah, absolutely. All righty. Well, we can probably park part two there. After the break in part three, we're going to be doing our own predictions and some from the Rank squad as well. Stick with us.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back to the third and final part of this Ranks FC Champions League preview, where it's prediction time, not just from us, but from the Ranks squad as well. So I'm going to hand you to the ever capable Mr. Dean Jones, who's going to run us through what some of our favourite members had to say.
Yeah, obviously, I'm very good at predictions. If you're not on the Patreon, I can now reveal to you that in our Ranks FC Prediction League, Prediction Game, Betting Game, Pick 11, which we run on a weekly basis, I am the champion. I've won it. It was an absolutely remarkable season from me. Barely got a bet right all season, but when I did, they counted for a lot, didn't they, Jack?
Big points late on. 90th minute winners from Dean Jones all over the place.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you what, my prediction for this one, I was going to go for a straight 2-0 win to Real Madrid. But then I thought, right, let's actually give this a bit of thought, Dean. Don't just go with a hunch like that. Because as soon as I thought 2-0, I thought I could barely remember Real Madrid winning 2-0 this season. Like, it doesn't seem like a very familiar scoreline. I looked into it. Out of 54 matches this season, they've only won 2-0 four times. That put me off, Jack. So I went digging a little deeper. Now, they have had half their Champions League games decided by one goal. And What I also found interesting is that across the course of this season,
they haven't kept all that many clean sheets.
All that many clean sheets, but that wasn't where I was going with it. But they have come up against a lot of German opponents, obviously. They've played Union Berlin twice, they've played Leipzig twice, and they've played Bayern Munich twice as well. Now, what's interesting, that those six matches against Bundesliga rivals, they've produced four single goal wins and there have been two draws. It's been really, really close any time they've been involved against a good German side. I was speaking to somebody else last week about this, just in DMs. He was a Madrid fan. And he said the thing he alluded to was that Madrid will basically treat this one like they've treated those ones. Those are almost a warm-up because you're going to get a very similar mental approach from Dortmund as you would have from those teams. Maybe not Bayern Munich so much because they've got a bit more expectation, but the other two perhaps. So I think Real Madrid kind of know what's coming here. And it's not going to be easy, but I think that they've had a taste of German life. I think 2-1 might be more realistic. Maybe we get a bit more of a game than I expect, but I think Madrid still do the job.
Well, you heard it here first.
Guru wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. This is guru wisdom. I should have got the boys to do a prediction. They're now in bed. There's absolutely no way I can go and get them.
Considering that there were some wild score lines in Dylan's predictions for the Euros group in particular, I think we could have had something quite special if we'd had that, but alas.
I would predict that his prediction would have been something like 4-0 or 4-1 to Real Madrid.
When that comes in now, we're all going to be looking at the new guru.
He's
guru
a big
junior.
Madridista, especially because Mbappe's incoming. He's very excited.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy that you've made Reese a Barcelona fan, so that's going to be one that's going to split them for decades to come. I'm going to go penalties.
Are you actually?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to go Marco Reus scores the winning penalty.
You are getting caught up in the emotion.
Of course I am. Of course I am. This is what I do. This is what he does. I'm going to go 2-2 after extra time, penalties. Borussia Dortmund win on spot kicks. Marco Reus.
Very good. I mean, I have to say, Jack, you're not the only one that sees it like this. I'm just flicking through. I posted, just before we started, about a half hour before we started recording on Patreon to get some Champions League final predictions from the Rank Squad. And they're starting to land ever since then. I'm not going to read them all out because there's quite a few here. But Andrew says, Marco Reus nets the game winner here. Every Dortmund bone in my body has been conditioned to think that we won't give him what he deserves here. But I believe. Bengali says 1-0 Dortmund, a Reus direct free kick on 93 minutes. We dream.
We can dream.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's about as much Reus love as I've got. A lot of people got him down as a scorer, to be fair, but not for Dortmund to win. Actually, Jim does. He says, Hummels and Reus to score completely against the runner play. Joselu gets one back, but it ends 2-1 to Dortmund.
Joselu's going to score two. That's how it's going to extra time in my prediction.
Absolutely. Trevor says, Dortmund 1-0 up till the 85th minute. Madrid begin the press and grab a late equaliser in added time through an own goal. It's 1-1 at full time. Madrid blow him out the water in extra time and win 4-1.
That is literally just the Atletico game. He's just repeated the Atletico game. What happened in the Atletico game.
Yeah. Lucas says Madrid will at least equal the biggest Champions League final win ever, which was 4-0 Milan over Barca in 1994.
We've got a lot of Madridistas in here.
That'd be chilling. Luke Shaw says Real Madrid will score a controversial goal and win 1-0. And I think that's probably the most likely of all of these.
Yeah.
I'm going to end with this one, Jack, from Najib. He says Madrid 3, Dortmund 0. Jude scores, there's an own goal, and Vinicius Jr. scores. Before the game ends, you hear the Undertaker's theme tune and Mbappe comes out wearing his Madrid shirt. It's the boldest prediction of all, but you never know.
No, I saw someone on Twitter earlier talking about the fact that they thought it was going to be 1-0 to Borussia Dortmund with Jude Bellingham just purposefully slicing the ball into his own net. And then whipping off his Madrid shirt to have a Dortmund one on underneath, which very I thought was quite brave, to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't think that one was necessarily going to come in, but hey, we can have a think about it anyway. It's going to be an interesting one for Jude. Obviously, quite an emotional game for him.
It is, yeah. It's a bizarre final for him, isn't it? To think where he's come through from Dortmund and getting the platform that he got there to become the superstar, gets the superstar move in his first season in La Liga with Real Madrid, being crowned as the best player in the league across this season, to now be facing Dortmund and to take that. He'll know what this moment will mean to that club. Like, that's just one thing you'll get at the end. Like, if Real Madrid do win it, like, you'll see him. He's like, he's such a good dude. He will be so good in victory, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I like about this lad. Like, he is such a good guy. And you don't often see that played out in big finals, and they can get quite venomous at times, obviously. But I don't think it matters how this final is won. Because if Bellingham is the guy that makes the difference in Madrid win it or whatever, you know, he's not going to be, he won't be gloating. He'll obviously celebrate. He's got to celebrate. A massive moment in his career.
Will he celebrate a goal?
He has to, mate. It's a Champions League final. He has to. I've not got time for that. You can't not celebrate scoring a goal in a Champions League final.
I also completely agree with you. just one of those.
I get it. And to be fair, I think he'll be slightly conflicted. You know, I think he's going to go up to those Dortmund fans with his hands aloft if he scores it at that end. I think
the boldest prediction of the day, you don't think Jude Bellingham will do an Emmanuel Adebayor and run the entire length of the pitch to celebrate in front of the Dortmund fans?
I don't think, no.
Fair enough. All righty. Well, I think on that note, we should probably leave it there. So all that's left for me to do is say thank you very much to all of those patrons who put in their predictions for the game. Thank you, as ever, to the Rank Squad for stepping up there. Thank you very much to Mr. Dean Jones.
Cheers, mate.
I've been Jack Collins. Thank you all so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this little walkthrough of the Champions League final. We're all very excited for Saturday night, wherever we're going to be watching it, and we hope that you are too. We'll see you later on the week, gang. Take it easy. Peace.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact, with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. It's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.